Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
And thanks to the help you get from Dan Burns, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll help you keep it running. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Morning, Dan. I hope you had a good week, probably a busy week there at Lloyd's for you guys.
Busy week. Spring is here.
And yeah, it
the
is.
The sun is shining. It's nice out.
What a change.
Here
huh?
we go. Yeah, what a change a week makes. Huh?
Let's talk a little bit about that, if we may. But in the meantime, let's invite our listeners to call in. If you do have a vehicle problem and you have to take it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, call Dan, and maybe he'll give you some idea of what to tell those folks when you do bring it in, give you some idea of what to look for. Saves everybody a little more time if you can pin it down quicker. 651-989-9226. We've cleared the line, so you can use them. Otherwise, send Dan a text like some folks like to do. That's 81807 for your car care text questions. All right, here we go. Almost May, and I'm looking at tomorrow's high, near 70 with sunshine. Folks you see more people out and about now.
Oh,
not
it?
Only walking and biking like you do,
yeah.
But driving.
It's just beautiful. It's so nice to be out. And it is spring, and it's time, and it's, along with everything else, you've got to get your home ready. You've got to get the yard cleaned up, and you got to get your car ready for spring. And as part of that, I think there's a few things that you should do. Number one, wash your car.
Oh boy, I've been waiting to do. Well, I do that with a car wash,
right.
But I kind of miss those where you can really clean the interior.
Get in
too.
The driveway, get the hose out, and really
absolutely.
Clean it, and vacuum it, and get it. Get it all cleaned up for summer. Get all that salt off the car and off the carpet and all that. And
floor mats.
And floor
all
mats.
That stuff,
yep. Get all that cleaned up. Clean the inside of your windows. That sun shining directly into the windows makes it really hard to see. I think it's a good time seasonally, spring and fall. I'll remind you of this again in the fall, but check all of your lights. Turn the lights on and walk around the car and be sure that the lights all work. And then as we're heading into summer, turn your air conditioning on. And I know you don't need it yet. It's beautiful and you're enjoying the warm weather, but turn it on and be sure that it makes cold.
I did that last week.
Oh, good.
Because sometimes when you have a black car, it gets warm.
Yeah. Well, turn it on even if you don't need to turn it on because because you want to know that before. When it's 90 degrees out and you want your air conditioning to work.
That's a good point.
We're too busy to help.
Yeah.
And so now's a great time to turn it on, be sure that it works and take care of that. And then one thing I like to remind you of a couple times a year is we all have remotes for our cars and for the locks. And I want you to take the actual key and put the key in the door and in the trunk and in all of the locks on the exterior of the car. Actually put the key in the door, turn it, and be sure that still works too.
Limber it up a little.
In case you ever need to use it because it's been sitting all winter or for years.
Who knows,
probably.
Yeah.
And nobody ever tries them, and then when you need them, they don't work. They're rusted or corroded in place. So
what can you do about that if suddenly you find that you haven't used it, maybe ever, and is there any kind of lubricant or anything?
Well, we can try.
Okay.
Get some help on it if that happens. Sometimes putting the wrong kind of lubricant in it makes it worse. I mean,
it ends up with a residue.
Well, it might free it up for a little while, but it works up or ends up with a residue. So if it doesn't work and you need it to work and you do need it to work, then get some help on that with a locksmith or with your shop. Your shop can help you with that.
Use the key. Try it.
Use the key, and it's important to to use it once in a while and make sure that it still works.
Good idea.
So, yeah.
Tell you what, let's take some calls. Folks are calling in. They're texting in as well. One line is open if you want to ask a car care question to Dan. 651-989-9226. Text 81807. Phil is calling in from Ellsworth with a question. Hi, Phil. What is your question for Dan?
Good morning. I have a 2002 GMC 2500 HD, four-wheel drive, and I've had the differential replaced and U-joints, but when I am driving between, like, 20 and 35, every once in a while there's a rattle or a hum that comes, and then it disappears, and there's no, it doesn't do it all the time, but it does it fairly often.
Well, noises are tough, you know, because there's so many places that they can come from, and things that you can feel. As you were talking, except it's a little bit low speed, I was thinking of the torque converter in the transmission coming on and off that you could feel and possibly hear. Those torque converters sometimes have a tendency to chatter a little bit, so that's one thing to think about. But a humming noise from a GMC, there's just nothing that jumps into my head right now that is common. You know, lots of things are, and we see them all the time, and I know exactly what it is, but that one's not ringing a bell with me. So I guess my recommendation is swing by a shop and ask somebody to go for a ride with you, and, you know, if I was riding in the car and I could hear it, I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but just from your description, I don't. I'm sorry.
You have to be present.
Have to hear it. Yeah, yes. Noises are tough.
Yeah.
They're tough even when you are there.
I imagine they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go for it, Phil. Get some professional ride along.
Well, and you know, we're glad to go for a ride with you. I mean, there's no charge to go for a ride.
Oh, okay.
Just go ask somebody. They'll be glad to do it for you.
All right, good. Nancy's calling from St. Paul, I believe. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have got a 2012 Hyundai Santa Fe, and somehow the electrical system is slowly shutting down, I guess. I don't know. First, the remote door lock quit working, so I have been using my key like you suggested. Then the dome light stopped coming on when I opened up the car doors. It will open, or it will turn on when you turn it on, but not the setting for opening up the doors doesn't work. And now when I go to open up the windows, it's the electrical window control. The one on the driver's side will not roll down the windows on the passenger side.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering, I had it in to get the oil changed, and they said that they couldn't do anything. I'd have to take it to a dealership to get it diagnosed, and they didn't have the schematics to know what to look for.
Yeah. Well, lots of shops do have the schematics. The fact that they quit working not all at the same time makes me wonder what's common about them, or if there is something common, or if it's just coincidence. And the door light not coming on, there's a switch in the door that certainly could be affecting the light, and it also could be affecting the remote control not working properly. But that I can't remember what the third one was.
What was the third one, Nancy?
The passenger windows won't go down when you use the controls on the driver's door.
Yeah, so you know, that could be related perhaps like in the wiring of the driver's door too. And maybe the wiring of the driver's door is what's common about all of them. The only reason I'm hesitant on the wiring is it's a little bit new for that. But, you know, the driver's door is the one that gets used all the time. And there's wires that run from the door to the body of the car through a little bellows. And you open and close the door many, 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 many times. And the wires flex back and forth, and over time they break. And so maybe that's what's going on, is that in that bellows of your door, those wires have cracked and have broken, and they're letting loose one at a time, and that's why things are happening one at a time as it comes along. So something like that is what I think is probably what's going on.
It's going to need some detective work.
Yeah, and you're going to need some help with that. Yeah, and there's lots of shops. We have all the schematics for that. So there's lots of shops that can help you if you're more comfortable with one closer to home.
And Nancy's in St. Paul. So
yeah.
That,
well, sure. Well, we're
right
close
over.
To you, too, then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thanks, Nancy. Good luck. I want to alert Linda, Stan, and Keith. You're going to be next on the phone. And we grab some text messages as we come back, too. And a good Saturday morning to you. 40 is our Twin City temperature reading. We're going to get close to 60 today with some sunshine. We're in the midst of our car care show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which is located where, Dan?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue, right near the Governor's Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, including this morning, at 651-228-1316.
Great Avenue there.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Linda is calling from Winstead, I believe, with a question. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a 2001 Buick LeSabre, and we're trying to change a lower turn signal bulb, and we have to pull the headlight casing, the upper headlight, regular headlight casing, to get to that lower unit. So we've got the bolts out of the headlight unit, but where it wraps around on the side of the car, it seems like it's hung up there, and we don't see that there's another bolt, and we've pulled and pulled on it, but we don't want to break it. Is there something we're overlooking?
I think there probably is something where you're overlooking. Oftentimes, the bumper and other things are on those GM products. Sometimes there's just two little gizmos that you lift up, and then the whole headlight comes right out, and it's very easy. If you're having to take bolts out, then the headlight probably is not accessible without taking other things off. Oftentimes, there's bolts back under the fender liner that go in from the backside that need to come out to get the headlight off. And I honestly think that you're making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be. It probably, the bulb that you're getting after or going after is probably accessible either easily from underneath or a little bit through the fender liner. So I think that if you went and asked somebody to point and show you how to do it, you'd find that it's much easier. I don't think you have to take the headlight out to do that.
Oh, wow.
So, and if you do have to take the headlight out, then usually the headlight is not that. There's something simpler that's supposed to happen. So I don't know where you are at or who you would use for a shop. But if you just went in any shop and just said, hey, would you look at this and tell me what I'm doing wrong?
I'm sure they
would be glad.
I bet they would.
They would be glad to do that for you. And I think you'll find that it's very simple and you're probably making it way harder than it needs to be.
Well, good luck, Linda.
Yeah.
Wow, that's frustrating.
Yeah. Well, it is. I have all the books and, the other thing you could do is try Googling it.
Oh, there you go. That does help once in a while.
You know, I use it. Sometimes there's something I've never seen before, and I Google it, and there's a YouTube video that makes it pretty easy for me. So try that, too.
There you go, Linda.
That's
another thought.
Well, it might just give you the one tip that you're missing, and then it's really easy after that.
Thanks, Linda. Let's talk to Stan, who's calling from Roseville. Stan, you're on CCO with Dan.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a 2007 Yukon and the GMC Yukon, and been having trouble starting it. It'll start several times in a row. Then I'll be somewhere, whether it's home or somewhere else, try starting it, and there's absolutely nothing. If I get the car hooked up to another vehicle, you know, like as to jump it, for example, it'll start almost immediately. I've had it checked I've had the battery checked. Actually, the battery is relatively new. The battery was checked. The connections were checked. The starter, the alternator were all checked, and they did a basic electrical system check. Nothing came back as being indicative. And, of course, when I took it to the garage, it was starting fine for them.
Yeah, it worked every time.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't consistently start it from the garage to make sure that it'll start for me during the day.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is what might be a reason for that or what I can do to try to get that fixed, correct? What,
did you say that jumping it makes a difference if you hook up the jumper cable?
Yeah, if I hook it up to another vehicle, or I have a jumper system at home, you know, if I plug that in and hook it up, it'll start essentially instantaneously without much effort at all.
Yeah. So the so the battery is dead when the car's not starting.
Well, something, the car will not absolutely start, and I don't know what that the battery is dead when the car is not starting. All I know is that to start it, hooking it up as though it were a dead battery works.
Makes a difference, yeah. So I'm assuming, you know, that's a pretty good indication that it really does have a dead battery when you go to start it. And there's one of two things is happening. Either at times the alternator is not charging it, and when you park the car, the battery is dead. And then when you go to restart it, of course, it won't start. Or more likely, something intermittently is staying on and causing the battery to go dead while the vehicle is parked. And you wouldn't have the equipment to get after that. We would. We would hook up an amp meter in series, and there's a minimum and maximum series. Leave the car sit overnight. Or probably for several nights, like you say, it's very intermittent. By doing that, with our gauge, we can tell if during that period of time, if the something did come on, you know, if a computer comes back to life, or if a light switch is coming on, or if something's coming on that's causing the battery to go dead when the vehicle sits. And, you know, I'm sure that as part of the electrical system check, they checked this, and at the time it checked fine, but that doesn't mean that it's always checking fine. And this is one of the most frustrating parts of our job, is to zero in on something that is intermittently happening, and it's, you know, it's hard to get it to act up. If it's acting up and it's broken, it's easy for me to find. If it's not acting up, you know, sometimes it's impossible. We have to wait for it to act up.
Yeah.
And so that can be really frustrating for you and for me. But sometimes that's just what it takes. You just need to leave it. And I think that's probably where you're going to get to, is you're just going to have to find the shop that's willing to work with you and leave the vehicle until they're able to actually get it acted up.
Okay. And, that's the word.
Then they'll get to the bottom of it.
Thank you, Stan. We need to take a break. I want to alert Sue and Keith. You're going to be next here on the phone. Then we'll pick up on text messages as well. It's 40 degrees here on CCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Dan again before he leaves us in a few minutes. Let's see, Dan's folks have been waiting on the line. It's Keith in Robbinsdale is waiting. Go ahead, Keith. Thank you.
Good morning. We love this show.
Thank you.
We have a 2005 GMC pickup with 250,000 miles with rust issues coming now. Our longtime trusted mechanic recommends looking for a replacement used vehicle, but he suggests looking for a used truck in the Southwest United States and for nothing newer than a 2013 due to, quote, all the electronics in the newer vehicles. Do you concur?
I kind of like the electronics in the newer vehicles. The things that it has are pretty handy. And I've gotten to not be afraid of them anymore. And as a mechanic, I've found that they've not turned out to be a big, you know, maintenance and repair issue. So that I would not be afraid of that. Finding a vehicle in the Southwest, I think, is a good idea. If, you know, out of a dry climate, you'll do much better on the rust if that's what you're after. You know, around here, rust is a factor, and it's real, and it just is what it is, and over time, it'll eat the car up, that's for sure. So I'm not saying that the vehicle that you have is, you know, just because a little rust is coming through is no reason to get rid of it either, because that can also take a long time before it gets
especially
really,
with 250,000.
Yeah, yeah. So if it's still running good, I wouldn't be in a big hurry to do that. I spend a lot of time in Colorado, and I find that they have much less rust there. My son owns a shop there, and he doesn't need to take his torches out when he does exhaust work like
really?
We do.
How about that?
So things do rust much less in the Southwest than they do here. So that's probably.
But you're not afraid of the electronics, though.
I'm not afraid of electronics, okay. So I wouldn't worry about the year.
All right. There you go, Keith. Good luck. Sue is going to be our last caller, I believe. Hi, Sue.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am vertically challenged and getting caught up in the euphoria of buying a newer vehicle. Now, a couple months later, realizing I'm constantly adjusting my seat. It's a 2013 Murano. The steering wheel is telescoping. However, the pedals are not. So I feel like I'm getting dangerously close to that steering wheel with the airbag situation. Is there any way I can build up my pedals? Is there anything that can be done safely and or be turned back to factory when I do try to sell it?
Well, there's nothing that the manufacturer is going to offer that will allow you to build up the pedals. The one thing that comes to mind is I think that if you searched online, you might find a cover that you can the pedals that you have a cover on them. And I wonder if the pedals could be changed or if that cover could be changed with a thicker cover. But that's something that you'd have to explore. What I would be afraid to do is build, or nobody else would be willing to do it for you either, is build something, because that becomes a safety issue if it fails and all of a sudden it falls off and you can't reach the pedals. So it's going to be a tricky thing to find at best. One place that you could look is some people that are handicapped in some way.
That's true.
Have their pedals modified and, you know, professionally modified. And so that's one place that you could check is see if there's some.
You might Google that.
Through one of those shops if there's a way that they could do that for you.
Yeah, good idea. Well, it's a shot in the dark, Sue. But what I look at it is you're not vertically challenged. You have a lower center of gravity. Thanks, Sue. Good luck in the hunt for that. Very interesting question. I don't think we've ever had that before.
No.
All right, we have time for a couple of quick text messages. Let's see. 2011 Equinox. Check engine light on. The code, leak in the fuel system. Gas cap tight. Turned off light. Came on again at half a tank. Any recommendations?
Well, it's something going on in the evaporative system, and because the light comes on means that there's a code stored in the computer that I can access, and from that code, from that information, we can do some testing and figure out what's going on. There's a leak somewhere in the evaporative system. It's supposed to be completely sealed, and it's got valves and solenoids that open at the right time. Something's not working right. Sometimes we find that a little mouse has gotten up there, Denny, and chewed through that plastic tubing or something like that is going on.
But those critters do that.
Yeah, but you should have that checked and repaired, because you can't just drive with the check engine light on.
No.
Or if something else goes wrong, you won't know it.
All right, let's see. There's a 2008 Kia. I don't have brake lights, texter says. Changed all the bulbs and fuses. I was told it could be the stoplight switch. Is it hard to replace that? Stoplight switch?
Not for me.
Easy for you.
Easy for me.
Is there such a thing as a stoplight switch?
There is, yes.
Oh,
it's up on. It's mounted on the brake pedal assembly, and there's wires going to it, and sometimes they, there's bolts or little nuts that hold it on. Sometimes they're just threaded into the pedal assembly itself. Sometimes they just push in, but it certainly could be that, and if you wanted to bring it into a shop and have somebody check that for you, it's very easy to check and pretty simple to replace. So it would not cost much if you don't want to. The trouble with not being able to do any diagnostics is it gets expensive to just keep replacing parts.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to do that. We don't allow that in our business. We have to prove what's wrong. And when I call you, I can guarantee you that it's going to fix it. And the reason we can do that is because we've done the testing. So sometimes the testing is cheaper than guessing.
Than guessing, yes. Dan, I'm going to save a couple of text messages for next week because Susie Jones will be joining you.
Oh, great.
For the show while I'm in Sonoma.
We get along just fine.
You do,
yeah.
Yes. She's a lot of fun.
Yes.
So Dan will be back next week. Phone number for Lloyd's.
We're at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. See you in a couple of weeks, Dan.
Sounds good. Have a good trip.
Thanks very much.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.